Well, I'm not going to be speaking on Ephesians chapter 1, but that's a fantastic chapter, isn't it? Rather, Psalm 103. If you have your Bibles, it'd be really great to turn to Psalm 103 because it was a while ago that we read it and you might have forgotten it. I'm going to be referring to it as we go. And maybe if we haven't got your Bibles, Ian might help us by putting it up. Thank you. Now, Weihan asked me if I would speak on my favourite psalm. Now, I thought only one favourite psalm, so I'm going to quib and do a little bit of another one as well. Psalms have been my companion these last few years. The older I get, the more so. I think the psalms capture the voice of ordinary people doing life with God. And the older I get, the more life there is to do. And so I think the Psalms have become more companionable for me. I know this is a favourite psalm of some of you already, and so I wonder how I'm going to do justice to it. But I want to go through it in six sections and just share with you some of the things that I have discovered as I've gone into this psalm in some depth, and how I have used it. So the first two verses I've entitled, Don't Forget to Praise God. Psalm 103 is an individual psalm of praise. The psalm opens, Praise the Lord my soul. Praise is an action. It implies bowing the knee, bending the knee, bowing before someone else. Praise is also giving voice to who God is. Do you notice the psalmist says, Praise the Lord my soul. He's actually exhorting himself to praise God. It's like it doesn't come naturally. Well, it doesn't, does it? Because naturally we are people who are focused on ourselves and we ignore God. And if things don't go right, we might ask him for help. And if we happen to remember, we might thank him for helping us. But to actually turn and praise him requires taking our focus off ourselves and to focus onto God. To know that he's God and that I'm not. How do we praise this God, the creator of the whole universe? With words that remind us of who he is and what he is like. The psalmist here says we can start praising God by recalling how he has dealt with us. He says, do not forget all his benefits. Don't forget how he deals with us. And this is how he deals with us. Forgives all your sins, heals all your diseases, redeems your life from the pit, crowns you with love and compassion, satisfies your desires with good things so that your youth is renewed like the eagles. He forgives. God, you are the one who forgives, heals, restores life, brings us back into a good place where life makes sense, where we have energy for living. The writer's actually speaking out of his own experience. His own experience, I think, of being in a hard place, of God meeting him there and bringing him through to a place of peace. Many of the Psalms are written from this place where life seems not to make sense. You know those occasions, a report from a doctor, a brush with death, a loss of employment, a broken relationship, war, financial ruin. These are the places where the Psalms, from which the Psalms have been written. And when we read the Psalms, we identify with them. If the psalmist is feeling overwhelmed by life, so I can recognise that I too am overwhelmed by life. My experience of praying and living the Psalms really came alive A few years ago, when I was living in England, away from family and friends, the mother of a newborn baby, sleep-deprived and homesick. Psalm 42 gave voice to my inner cry. Why are you so sad, my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Put your hope in God, for I will yet praise him, my Saviour and my God. And then again, some years later, when I was abandoned, my marriage collapsed, and both my parents died all in the space of a year, I felt as though I was in freefall. My heart was broken. Inside my head was silence. And once again, I drew upon the Psalms to give voice to how my life was. Tears have been my food day and night, says Psalm 42. The Psalms call us to take these very hard places, give voice to these, and express these experiences to God. I say to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Why must I go about mourning? So as we read the Psalms, we're invited into that frightening, healing place of exposing this rawness to the Holy God. And when we do, we're invited to discover the graciousness of God and his patient commitment to us. This is the experience of the writer of Psalm 103. He has been in a hard place. His life was at the edge, and God has brought him back from the brink and put his feet back on higher ground. This is one of the reasons why this is one of my favourite psalms. Because God has been with me in hard places. I have experienced his forgiveness, his healing, his commitment, and his compassion. The psalmist says, don't forget how he has dealt with you. Don't forget his benefits. Do you remember how he has dealt with you? We live in information overload, don't we? We're bombarded every day with stuff that we don't really need to know at all. And we have to forget things just to make enough head in our space in our head to be able to live. But the psalmist is saying, don't forget what's most important. And that is who God is and how he deals with us. And as you recall those, make these reflections the words of your prayer to praise him. God, you are the one who restores life. You are the one who gives me energy for today. So verses 6 to 10, remember how he has made himself known. Personal experience of God's very subjective, unless it's brought into the context of how God has revealed himself to his people in the scriptures. For this psalmist, the Exodus was a really important place where God has made himself known. So I want to just take a minute to go back to remind us of that story. God had rescued Israel from slavery. The psalmist says, the Lord works righteousness and justice for all the oppressed. He knows that God is just because of the Exodus event. He says he made his ways known to Moses. Moses was the leader of Israel, and God spoke to him and explained what he was doing and therefore who he was. God says to Moses, I've rescued you. I know you. Now live in a way that honours me. And the people said, we'll do this. We'll do everything that you say. But when Moses was up the mountain just a little bit too long, they felt abandoned by Moses and by God. And they said to Aaron, come, make us a God who will be with us. And so they made a golden calf and they bowed down to it. We read about this in Exodus 32. 1 minute, they're committing themselves to God. The next minute, they're going it alone, making their own God. Does that remind you of us? God was angry with these people, but Moses pleaded with him and said, please forgive them. So God, a just God, faced with this rebellious people, says to Moses who he is. Listen to this. The Lord, the compassionate and gracious God, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love and faithfulness, maintaining love to thousands and forgiving wickedness, rebellion and sin. That is who God is. And the psalmist, from his own experience of forgiveness, is able to say, this is who God is. And in Psalm 103, he puts it like this in verses 8 to 10. Listen to this. The Lord is compassionate and gracious, slow to anger, abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he harbour his anger forever. He does not treat us as our sins deserve or repay us according to our iniquities. The psalmist knows what God is like and who he is. And that verifies his own experience of God's forgiveness and new life. It's not just that he's feeling better. It is that God has been at work, because this is the sort of God he is. In contrast to the people who are impatient and turn away from him, God is compassionate and committed. Here's a suggestion. Take your Bible, Psalm 103, and go through it and underline every word of where it says compassion or love or steadfast love, commitment. You'll see that this is a theme that runs all through the psalm. This is what God is like. He's compassionate and he's committed. So verses 11 to 14, God is compassionate and committed, and this is what it looks like, how you describe it. It's as high as the heavens. We can't get any higher than that. It's as wide as east is from west. Well, we know that they just keep going on and on. There's no end. God's compassion is like the very best parent who could ever have, loving his children. That's what God's compassion and commitment is like. You see, God made the heavens and the earth, the east and the west, and that's why he's able to remove our sin. He made us. He made people. He knows. He remembers what we're like, and he's still compassionate. He's still committed to us. Verses 15 to 18. Humans are fickle and faithless. See, in contrast to God's steadfast love, human faithfulness is like flowers. Here one day, gone the next. The psalmist is quoting Isaiah 40, where it says, all people are like grass. All human faithfulness is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers, the flowers fall, but the word of our God endures forever. You see, we may give up on God, but God doesn't give up on us. In contrast to human fickleness, the Lord's commitment is never ending. It extends from one generation to the next. Someone has done some research on my family history and gone back right to the Reformation and discovered that there are Christians in my family from that time through to now. And I pray that that will continue for generations to come. We're about to celebrate 50 years of people gathering and praying in this place. And I think I read somewhere that New Hope is about to celebrate 60 years. There have been people living in this community and praying for that long. Because God is committed to us. Verses 19 to 22. All creation will praise the Creator. The psalm concludes with an exhortation for all of creation to bow down before God, to praise and acknowledge Him as God. Because God's sovereign over everything is made, the heavens and the earth. And there's a final exhortation for the psalmist himself to join in creation in praising God. Don't forget what God is like, who He is, and how He deals with us. Lord, we praise You for Your compassion for us, for Your commitment to us is beyond our comprehension. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. The stars, the moon, the rain, the sun, all of these remind us that it is You who made us, not we ourselves. So in summary, the psalm reminds us that this is what God is like. He's compassionate and committed. I've experienced this in my own life, and I hope you have too. As we look back and see how God has revealed Himself, we can go to the Exodus story, and as the psalmist does. But because we stand this side of Jesus' coming, we see God's commitment and compassion to us essentially in Jesus. Do you remember when Jesus meets Peter? Peter, who has denied that he even knows Jesus. And Jesus comes to him and says, "Jesus, will you come and be a leader in my church?" That is the sort of commitment that Jesus has to us. The sort of commitment that God has to us seen in Christ is God who loves everything that He's made, even though we've messed it up. He's loved it so much, loves us so much, that He's sent Jesus into this broken world to roll up His sleeves, get involved in our lives, take all of the effect of evil upon Himself and die so that we can be His adopted children. That's God's compassion to us. That's His commitment to us. I want to point out three things to clarify before we finish. The first is this: God's compassion and His commitment. It's not a one-sided relationship. The Lord has compassion on those who fear Him, says verse 13. The Lord's compassion, love, is with those who fear Him, who keep His covenant, who obey His commandments, verse 18. See, those who sing this psalm know that they are forgiven sinners. They fear Him because they are forgiven. They're not forgiven because they fear Him. I'll say that again. They fear Him because they are forgiven. They're not forgiven because they fear Him. Relationship is two-way. The initiative is always with God. He loves us first, but He looks for an echo of obedient response in our lives. The second thing to clarify In verse 3, the psalmist says, he heals all your diseases. And in verse 5, he renews your strength like the eagles. Now we know that in our life, God doesn't heal all of our diseases. We all die. And the older I get, I know that I don't feel as though I'm getting younger every day. I haven't got that strength that I used to have when I was 16. So what does the psalmist mean? I think the psalmist picking up those glimpses that we have of resurrection life. He's looking forward, anticipating God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. In Christ's resurrection, we see his new creation life. And when he returns, that will be ours, complete and full. We experience now a little, we anticipate and look forward to completion. So we read these verses with a glimpse of what is to come. And we know that in the meantime, all healing, all forgiveness and renewed life comes from God. And the third thing, we live in an individualistic culture and it's normal for us to do life on your own. But the psalm reminds us that individual faith only makes sense in the context of how God reveals himself to his people that we read in the scriptures and in the body corporate together. So whatever is happening for you now, bring it into the context of God's people historically in the scriptures, God's people current in the body of Christ. And this is why we gather week by week, to be reminded that God makes himself known to us and of who he is. So in conclusion, I don't read Psalm 103 just when life is good and I can praise God. Psalm 103 continues to remind me of God's commitment and compassion, and so evokes hope and anticipation of what is yet to come. The psalmist reminds me of what is important. Don't forget to praise God. Don't forget to acknowledge that he is God, not me. He reminds me to learn and to practice praising him. And it is hard. Isn't it more natural to pray and ask him for things than to praise him? And I don't read Psalm 42 just when life is hard, because this psalm reminds me that God meets us in every place in our life, and he wants me to cry out to him no matter what condition I'm in. But both psalms remind me that God is present in the reality of our lives, and that they give words that prompt me to lift my eyes above myself and my circumstances and to acknowledge that God is God. So where are you in this picture? Are you in a hard place where you want to cry out to God, my rock, why have you forgotten me? Or are you experiencing God's commitment and compassion? Or maybe a bit of both. The Psalms will give you a voice to live your life in the ordinary places with God. They'll encourage you to turn your face toward God, for he will meet you wherever you are, because he is the compassionate and committed God. I'm going to close with a prayer using Psalm 103. Let us pray. Lord God, Creator of heaven and earth, Creator of all that is, you made us and you know us. You know how fickle we are. We say we want to live for you, but when life is good, we forget you. When life is hard, we blame you. But still you are compassionate toward us. You do not treat us as our sins deserve. You love us better than the most loving parent. You gave up your only child so that we could become your adopted children. And you are still committed to us, guiding us, giving us strength for the journey, forgiving, healing, restoring our lives, putting our feet back on solid ground. So today we pause to acknowledge that you are God, and we praise you. We bow down before you. Amen.